Patriots Today is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Toyota's Patriots Today. I'm Jackie Britton. At Monday night's Patriots Charitable Foundation Gala, a new element was added to entertain the fans. Former Patriot Matt Light conducted a comical roundtable discussion with some of the players, and it proved to be quite a crowd pleaser. But check it out for yourself right here in its entirety.
This is incredible, by the way. You know how long I've waited to have this opportunity?
Check.
When I picked this up, I expected it to shock me or something.
Matt's never seen a microphone he didn't like, so we could be here a while. Get comfortable.
Go ahead and get comfortable if you're not already. If you need to stretch your legs, you need to stand up a little bit, maybe flap your wings. It's an honor to be here hosting this panel discussion with... It sounds awesome, doesn't it? I've actually rehearsed this. I have cards that I wrote my notes on, okay? But truly, it's an honor to be here. I'm going to host this panel discussion with this lovely crew of talent that you have here in front of you. Between them, by the way, and I didn't know this until I got a little Tweety Bird that gave me some information, 35 years of Patriots experience. That's pretty cool. If you can go back and count my years, we'd be at, I can't add that high, but I think 46. So 35 years of experience, 18 seasons as your captains here in New England, 16 Pro Bowls, and 11 Super Bowls. That's a lot of talent. That's a lot of guys that have been in the trenches. They've seen a lot. They've done a lot. They've had a lot of fun. And I'm honored to be able to say that
so
I was a part
questions?
Of that. This is my time, Tom. This is exact. Hey, listen, you know what you could have? You could have these guys standing up here looking just like Bill did a minute ago, expressionless, talking about, we are excited about
can't
this
make
season.
Them run now. Hey, look, can't make them
Thank
run
you
now.
For the time. Listen, it's been a long time coming, okay? A long time coming.
Tell them how you really feel.
We're getting ready to kick off an NFL season, people. Let's have a little fun. Stand up, get crazy. We're going to get after it. But before we do that, because that's going to come up here in a minute when you guys break out your wallets for this awesome auction. But before we do that, let's have a little fun talking about things that don't maybe involve football so much, but involve the things that kind of make life doable around the locker room. Tom, I'll start with you. When I think back on the things that were really, truly awesome, I think about a guy in Bledsoe who passed the torch to a guy like myself, a guy that always had fun in the locker room.
Yep.
How many times did you see a guy go in their car, okay, picture this, end of a long day, you jump in your car, you start your car, your air's on high, and you have confetti and glitter all over your face. It happened to me as a rookie, I promise you. It probably happened to you.
Yes, it did.
It happened to many guys. I can remember he was the one guy as a rookie when I had to do my talent show that said, hey, listen, Light, I don't care what you do, but pick on Tom Brady and the yellow Jeep that he drives. That's a must for you. I got pictures. I've got all the information. We're going to do it. We had a lot of fun with that cast and crew. Please maybe elaborate, if you can, a little bit about some of the things that have happened to you in your time.
Some locker room pranks?
Yeah.
Well, you involved most of them, so you'd probably speak to that a bit better than I would. But there was obviously quite a few over the years trying to keep our locker room, relatively at ease at times. And it over the course of a long season, sometimes you need those type of things to get through. A few of the things that happened to me was, Drew Bledsoe was the culprit of the first one, but he, and I hate that I'm telling this because I was getting ready to ask someone for some help with this, but oh well. They sprinkled this powder that, I don't know, like the FBI uses and on money or, you know, and it's a purple powder and you put it in your socks. And for some reason I had a pair of socks sitting in my locker one day and I was going out to practice and I put these socks on. And about midway through practice I looked down at my shoes and through the leather of my shoes is turning purple. And I still really didn't quite figure it out at that point, only to go into the locker room after practice, and I had to peel the socks off of my purple dyed feet. And not only were they dyed for that day, they were dyed that way for about 3 weeks. So you saw where I walked in the locker room, because every step that I took, some of that purple paint wore off on the carpet, which Donnie Brochard, our equipment manager, wasn't very happy with Drew, but it was pretty effective prank. So I tried to get Coat back at one point, which he sniffed that out pretty quick. So I haven't been very successful with that prank afterwards. But
yeah, well, one of the all-time greats. I mean, I think we consider that being Barneyed to some degree.
That's what it was.
I love you, you love me, it's all big happy family. I can also remember a time that you and Castle had a little feud going on, fueled, yeah, I think, in part by some people outside of your little fueling.
Yes.
And I believe it culminated with him having a car on blocks. I remember Bill put an end to anything that involved, yeah, vehicles being placed on blocks.
No, there was a moratorium that he gave the team after practice, and he said, guys, I've had enough. And we went out to practice in the bubble one day, and we all walked to the bubble. And it was a rainy day. And when we came back in from practice, Matt Castle had three of his tires sitting at his locker. And when he went outside to check his car out, they were on blocks. And he couldn't find the fourth tire and actually hid that tire from him. He never did get that fourth tire back.
Needless to say,
don't mess with people with more money than you. That was... And that's what I learned with Bledsoe, too. I could never really get him back, so...
Very valuable lesson. I remember that one myself. Now, going from the longest-tenured player to the youngest on our panel, Mr. Mayo.
Hello. Matthew.
Oh, no, thank you.
Matthew.
So when you first came in, 2008, if I recall correctly, I can remember vividly that here comes a young guy who spent more time in the film room than I did, and I'd been there for a while at that point, who literally took getting to know the game to a whole nother level as a rookie. But you're sitting there in a room with some of the all-time greats. I mean, you had Brewski, you had Vrabel, you had Roosevelt Colvin, you had Junior Seau. I mean, these are guys that I think anybody out here in the audience would agree are really interesting characters, let alone they play some pretty awesome football over the years. What's it like coming in as a rookie? And I know there was a little labeling. I mean, all the work you did, you know, he's a coach's pet, maybe. I mean, maybe labeled something. I don't know. I didn't think that, but maybe some others said that.
You gave me the teacher's pet. You and Tom.
Because
I was the young guy. They would send me in the coach's office, like, you know, we're tired. Ask him, can we get out of pad today? I was that guy.
So being that guy, and again, I will say, it was awesome to watch you interacting with some of those guys and how that played out. But in that locker room, in your linebacker meetings and all that stuff, you're a rookie and you're with these amazing guys that have done things for so long. Give these people here, these lovely participants in our panel discussion here, a little idea of what that's like.
Yeah, it was pretty intimidating. You know, anytime you go into a linebacker meeting room and you have four rocking chairs on the back row, you know you're the young guy. You know you're going to be running a lot of errands and carrying a lot of pads. And it was a great experience for me, and I was just trying to be a sponge and learn as much as I could from those guys.
Yeah, and you had to keep in mind, we spend a lot of time in meetings, and we spend a lot of time sitting in our rooms, whether you're an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, a linebacker. The linebacking room was the only one that had rocking chairs. Nobody else had that luxury. I mean, that's something that most of these people don't understand. I mean, the D lineman didn't have that luxury.
No.
So, moving on to maybe something a little bit more serious. The reason we're here tonight, obviously, to celebrate the Patriots Charitable Foundation, the awesome things that they've done in this community and many others, the impact that it's had on all of our lives. Last season, you were awarded this Ron Burton Community Service Award, something that I think as players, we all really look forward to. We all understand the importance and the meaning behind it. What did it mean to you?
You know, it means a lot. You know, I grew up in a family where giving back was huge. But as soon as I became a part of the Patriots family, you know, I really learned the value that it's not about the money that you give, but more about the time. And it starts with the Kraft family, Coach Belichick. You know, all of them will give of their time, and it was just huge for me.
Yeah, and you know, I think as you look at this panel and the experience that we talked about and the things they've gone through, not one, but all of these guys have had a major impact with the Parish Charitable Foundation. You watch the videos, you see the things that they've done within this community. It's truly incredible. I go back 2 years now. Vince, you were given this award. For you, it's a little bit different. You have kids that are a little bit older. I think anybody that knows Vince, anybody that's been around here long enough, you know how much of a family affair football is, whether it's your wife Bianca and her involvement and the things that she does to support you and your kids and everybody else. I just think of you in this award and what it signifies, and I have to imagine that what I have in my mind probably resonates in yours as well, just how important that award was for you and your family.
Well, that was it's probably the best award I ever received playing football or whatever I've done, because it had nothing to do with playing football or how many Pro Bowls I've made or whatever accolades I've had in life. It's basically about you as a person, and that's the main thing. Every day I look at that, and that's the first thing I think about. You know, this is how people view me off the field, and at the end of the day, I don't want to be judged from what I do on the field. You know, I want to be judged from the person who I was off the field. So that run deep in my family, with my kids, with my wife. And, you know, a lot of players feel the same way. But that's one of the things I always wanted to do, is making an impact off the field just as well as on the field.
Well, I'll tell you, as a guy that's been around a lot of your events and things, yes, big hand. You know, I've seen that impact, and I know it means a lot to you, and I know it means a lot to your family as well. Speaking of football, though, you come in, Super Bowl victory as a rookie. Did I say that right, rookie? I have a hard time talking about rookies. It's very awkward. Two conference championships. You've been a team captain for 4 seasons. You've been to the Pro Bowl 4 times. But when I look back on the things that you've done, there are a couple things that definitely stick out to me, okay? All right, and I'm not going to go where you think I'm going. I know I could go there. And I'm not. But last season, we all got to witness something that no one has ever seen before. I mean, look, we know that you can eat people up in the middle. We know that you can take on massive double team blocks. We know that you're a force to be reckoned with. But we had no idea that you had wheels of steel, that you could pick off a ball out of the air. I mean, it was impressive. So, that's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
Give the man his credit.
I'm sorry.
It happened twice. It almost happened 3 times, as a matter of fact. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what that experience was like. I mean, if I'm a fan, I want to know, what was it like to have that under your belt? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, to be honest with you, as a big boy, you always want to be able to have a chance to have a ball in your hands. And, you know, you have all these ideas. Man, if I get the ball, I'm a score. I'm going to do this. Man, I'm going to do this. Bill going to have to take me off 15 yards. I'm going to do this. But let me tell you, that's bull crap. Because the only thing I thought about was, man, how far do I have to run? That was the real.
You did look pretty winded.
No, I wasn't winded. Let's get it correct. No. But the first thing I thought about was like, man, this is far. And it seemed like I was running forever. But at the same time, I felt like, you know, I was doing pretty good. And I thought I was going to get there, but it didn't happen.
I mean, but there was a point, though, where there was the classic, it was right here. I mean, do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that happened right there. I mean, the stiff arm, the real deal. I mean, there's a lot going
on
there.
Oh, yeah. You know, I show a little athletic ability, you know. You know, like you, I mean, I'm not a typical, you know, big guy. I have a little moves.
Cat-like reflex and the speed of longest.
Just a little bit, you know, and I want to, you know, show all the DBs and running backs, you know, it's a small guy in this big man body, you know. I still have it.
I know. It was an awesome memory, something that I look back on quite a bit. You know, I've been able to do a lot of things in my life, and when I think about the football realm, one of the things that really sticks out, it's the guys you play with always, and more specifically, it's the guys that you play with that are closest to you? And I don't mean like, you know, we have a lot in common, or, you know, we hang out on the weekends, but it's the guy that plays right next to you. And although the order's backwards right now, I played with a guy in Logan, and we shared a lot of great moments over our, I don't know, 8 seasons together? Seven. Somewhere 7. Seemed like 8. But in that time, we did some things in our offensive line meeting room that were incredible. And one of the things that sticks out in my mind, and you have to understand that we spend an inordinate amount of time in these meeting rooms. It borders on insanity, really. And so every now and then, somebody comes up with an idea that is truly, truly amazing. And I got blamed for a lot of these things, but this one was definitely not me. And Logan, I think you can remember this one.
I think I know which one you're talking about. It was pretty amazing because it lasted for a few days.
About a year, really.
Yeah. A lot of people got blamed throughout the whole building. They were getting blamed. People were getting yelled at for no reason at all. So Dante would try to use his computer, and every time he touched his mouse, the arrow would just go berserk all over the screen. And he couldn't figure it out. He would bring in the computer guys, yelling at them, making them put a new mouse in, new keyboard. It just went on and on. They're calling the company, yelling at them, saying they want new stuff. And I don't know if we should sell out the guy that did it. I'm going to let you do it because I actually have to see the guy tomorrow.
Well, listen, the truth of the matter is, I mean, here we're trying to win games. And this is keeping us from some very important film study and things that Scar needed to get done in the O-line room. And, you know, really, I mean, it was a real distraction. I mean, like you said, they replaced the keyboard and mouse at least 3 times.
Very distracting, but everyone felt better because everyone's knew what was going on, and we were just laughing. Scar's mad, so it was great.
Yeah, and so listen, I think it's probably time that Donald Thomas...
Yeah, it was Donald.
...come clean. You know, maybe you do it in the form of a letter now that we've already kind of said it out loud, but Donald, if you're here... if you just want to go ahead and tell Scar, I'm sorry, it's not my fault, but you did provide us with a lot of levity, and you made that offensive line meeting, because I will tell you that watching him go berserk every 5 seconds when he tried to click on something and the mouse would wander off was truly priceless. One of the better moments I've ever had as an offensive lineman.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Logan, one other thing. You know, we had the AFC Championship game last season, and obviously as a player, it doesn't get much bigger than that. There's only one time that it becomes a little bit more heightened, and it's about as crazy as it gets, and you have all these people wanting to do things and tickets and this, that, and the other, and you have a routine that you go through as a player, and I can remember that your routine was a little mixed up that day for the AFC Championship game. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so of course, biggest game of the year to that point, and it was a night game, so I usually stay at the hotel all day in night games. I can't go home. I have 4 kids and my wife, and I need to stay focused, and it's chaos there. So I'm still at the hotel. Everyone else is gone, and I've always known we had great fans, but this story will really tell the truth about how great our fans are. So I go out, go to start up the truck, and of course it won't start. So I tried it for like 20 minutes. I finally just gave up. So I'm walking back to the hotel. I was going to ask them if they have a van or a car or maybe call someone. I could get a ride to the game. That would be very nice if I could get there. And as I'm walking, there's 3 guys. Man, I wish I could remember their names, but I have been hitting the head a lot. So, but they're like, hey, Logan, we saw your truck didn't start. Do you want to ride to the game? I was like, if you're leaving right now, I would love one. And they're like, all right, we'll leave right now. We weren't, but we will. So they had to clean out their car to make room because I took up most of the room in there. They stuff it all in the trunk, and we head to the stadium. So we're on our way. We're getting pretty close. They're like, well, usually we park across Route 1 over the dirt parking lots. Would you mind walking to the stadium from there? I'm like, what else could go wrong today? Now I got to walk all the way to the stadium. But I was like, no, it's all right. How would you guys like to just park next to the stadium? Would that be all right with you guys? They're like, really? We could park by the stadium? We don't have to walk? It's like, no, that's perfect. So they got the good parking, and I got to the game, and it all worked out great.
I tell you, for any of you Ford dealers out there, this man needs a dependable truck, okay? So look him up after this event. Last but not least, I thought we'd maybe, Tom, finish off with you and this is a softball. You go back and, you know, we heard some talk about the old Foxborough Stadium and what it used to be like and the difference between the Foxborough of 2000, 2001, what we kind of remember as going to the end zone. I mean, you heard about the Red Fox or the whatever that was. The Red Fox doesn't hold a candle or whatever that hotel is to the end zone motel, which was an experience that you'd have to go through to truly understand. But now we have Patriot Place. We've got one of the best facilities in the country, no doubt. What is the difference between a rookie then and a rookie now? I mean, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, in terms of the old stadium?
In terms of the whole experience. I mean, you got guys that come in now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a cakewalk, you know?
Yeah, well, especially, you know, and we made some major improvements to the dining facility, formerly known as the cafeteria, but we can't call it the cafeteria anymore. We have to call it the dining facility. So we... Yeah. So the weight room, actually, there was a lot of upgrades to the weight room, which are beautiful. Back in the old stadium, one thing that I do remember was, ironically, the showers. And after the game, there was only a limited amount of hot water that came out of the showers. So when you're a rookie and Willie McGinnis walks in behind you, and he used to make a sound like a siren that, you know, he's going, woo! And you knew he was coming. Well, I just turned around and walked out if I was already in the shower. So I'd say for probably 90% of that season, I didn't either shower or I took a cold shower because, you know, when you're the 53rd person on the roster, you know, there's not a lot of breaks that you catch. So, you know, the warm showers that those rookies get now and obviously the beautiful, you know, the cold tubs, the hot tubs, we have everything that we possibly need here. To be, you know, a winning organization, a championship organization, which is obviously everybody's goal. So, and that's what we were trying to be back then. But now, you know, in so many ways, we're, you know, very spoiled here as athletes. You hear me, Chandler? Yeah. Now, he's another one that likes to talk. So if we bring him up, I mean, we could be here in another 45 minutes.
2 minutes. Well, listen, you know, look, it was fun to be back. It's really going to be a great time this season to watch you guys as a fan now, as somebody that can sit back and say, I used to be a part of that organization. Look at what they're doing. I wish you guys the best of luck. Have a great 2012. Carry on the tradition and the excellence that this organization stands for. I know you will. And I appreciate you letting me come up here and talk a little bit with you. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Patriots Today is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots.